I'm not on. Now I am. Do you want me to start over? I'd like to call to order the special session of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. Our one purpose tonight is to hear the budget presentation from the superintendent. But before we do that, since we're not doing our traditional good news as we do in our regular meetings, I'm going to turn to Ms. Webb because I know she has some very good news this past week, and I'm actually surprised you're here tonight. So why don't you tell us about all the good news that happened in your life last week?
Well, thank you. I am now a grandmother, believe it or not, on Thursday, and my oldest son got married, so we did it all in like 3 days. Thank you. Everybody's healthy.
Secondly, I'd like to read this, and then I have asked Ms. Lammerhart to send this out to our staff. Board of Education would like to express our gratitude and appreciation to our teachers and teaching assistants as we celebrate Teacher Appreciation Week. The dedication to make sure all students have the opportunities to be successful, the many hats you are required to wear, and your focus on the educational growth of our students are reasons why we can proudly say our teachers are recognized across the state and nation, and that we are proud of you, not just this week, but every week of the year. So, thank you to all of our teaching staff for everything you do every day to improve the lives of our students. We're grateful for that. So, without further ado, Dr. Borchers.
All right, thank you. Yours. Thank you, and good evening, everyone. As you mentioned, this is our single item tonight, the presentation of our overview of the budget. And we're going to be talking a lot about numbers this evening. And I think we have to remember that, you know, the reason we're here is our students. And I want to start off with some of the work that we've been doing. And some of it's very new to us. The board received part of this in an organizational application here last week, but we're kind of trying to pull some things together. We've had seven keys to college and career readiness. We've had Oak Ridge 2020. We've had some other areas of focus that we've had. We've had the portrait of a graduate, which we still do and is still a major part of what we do. But there's always so many other things that we do as well. So we're calling this Forward Together, and this is a roadmap for Forward Together. And I'll go in a little bit, zoom in a little bit here. And this is really that governance piece that our board is very well aware of, that mission, vision, and core value piece. And we've been talking a lot more about our core values than we've ever had this past school year. And then now we're calling this kind of our pillars. As you can see there in academic excellence, we still have a very strong focus on the portrait of a graduate, but we always are doing all of these other things in the other areas of our organization, in the buildings and in the departments. So employee experience, service excellence, operational excellence, and impactful stewardship. So that's a part of this overall picture of where we're headed. And then before I kick it off to Ms. Van Dyke, it's really hard to have all of these different things out there, all the things we're trying to capture, different KPIs. And I just want to thank Ms. Molly Gallagher-Smith for sitting with Dr. Williams and having numerous conversations to say, okay, how do we explain this to staff? How do we see how all of these working parts fit together? And this is where we're at this point. Not to say that this might not be tweaked, but again, you can see that governance piece coming from the board's leadership onto the district leadership, where they're kind of responsible for that strategic planning in those pillar areas, and the strong focus on professional learning communities and the PDSA cycle, not only in what our buildings are doing, but also will be used when our departments are using their scorecards. And at the very end there, as it says, portrait of a graduate, at the center of everything we do is student learning. So I just wanted to ground us with this. We're going to talk a lot more about this in the coming year and this summer. But as we talk all these numbers, we have to remember that's the number one reason we're here, and to put a high-quality, unbelievable teacher, as you mentioned today, Keys, in front of those kids every single school year. So with that, we're going to go through this presentation probably rather quickly. The board, you've had it for a while. We've given it to the city council people that have been here. We're not going to read those slides to you, but we'll hit the highlights, and as always, we can take more questions at the end. So, Ms. Van Dyke, I'll hand that to you.
Turn myself on there. There it goes. Okay, so as we start to look at the FY24 budget, we're going to just touch briefly on our FY22 actuals, then kind of where we are this year in FY23, and then look at our FY24 budget as well. So FY22 was kind of our return to normalcy from COVID. We got a lot of grant funding that allowed us to create some positions, especially ITCs, PLC coaches, graduation coaches, coordinators, things like that. those, we kept getting more grants. I'm sure if you attended any of the board meetings, you saw we kept getting more grants, which was fantastic. It gave us, allowed us to buy and do a lot of things that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And kind of successes, we began to see benefits of this additional staffing, as well as we started to see an uptick in our enrollment as well. Again, the grants continued this year. We've also seen some property tax revenue increases, some sales tax actually is kind of stagnated a little bit, but still up from where we were prior to COVID. Getting grant funding for summer learning camps to help with learning loss remediation, those kind of things this year. And so we're looking into next year, so the reason we're here, right? Planning for increased enrollment, especially on the West End. We all know that's kind of a point we're having to deal with. But a lot of our COVID grants are going away at the end of this fiscal year, so we had to start looking at what do we need to do, how are we going to fund these positions, and thankfully, we got the TISA, the Tennessee Investment and Student Achievement Funding Model, was passed at the state, which has given us some additional revenue and allowed us to pick up those positions that we've found were very beneficial to the district. So our budget goals, again, I'm not going to read all of these. I'm sorry. We still want to keep focusing on the portrait of a graduate, as Dr. Porcher said a few minutes ago, finding the best possible alignment of resources with student success, expand our opportunities, and just maintain strategies that will help keep us at the top of Tennessee for student achievement, as well as having great employees. This budget development started back in June of last year. I think we started looking at everything when we thought that TISA was going to, when it started looking like TISA was coming down the pike. So that was kind of where we've been. So this is kind of the overall budget that we have proposed. FY24 budgeted amount for all funds is $81 million. That includes cafeteria, federal grants, general fund, extended child care program, and then our Family Resource Center as well. The bulk of that is our general fund, and that's really what most of us look at when we start thinking about our budgets, about $72 million. As I mentioned earlier, property tax estimates are up, and our enrollment is up. BEP went away, or will be going away at the end of next month, to be replaced by TISA in July. That is giving us additional funding. We're not expecting any increased funding from the city this year. We are going to be using some fund balances to fund some one-time projects that really need to just be done. So we're going to try to do that this year. And then, of course, revenues will be monitored to make sure that we don't get in a bad place at the end of the year. So our general fund increased 8.48% over our amended budget for FY23. We are proposing salary increases for all staff. We did see some inflationary cost. I'm sure everybody's experiencing that in their personal life as well. So, but with that, also some increased revenue on the interest side. Federal funds decreasing almost half. And again, I mentioned earlier that all of those COVID grants, almost all of them are expiring at the end of June 2023, so in about a month. And that's cut our federal funds way down. I'm not going to go over this at all. This is in our budget, and it is posted to the website now. So if anybody wants to look at that chart, you're welcome to. So our major expenditure assumptions, these are the things that, you know, people, especially our employees, are interested in. So all eligible employees this year, we're proposing to receive a step increase. as well as a 4% salary increase for all staff. Also increase the minimum salary for certified staff with a bachelor's degree to $50,000. This is something that the governor has proposed for, I think, 2026, 27, and OREA had also asked for this, so we're doing that this year. This does not have the other big thing in here that I didn't put. I've got the 4% salary increase for all staff, but there's also an additional 6% salary increase for, it is another slide, yes, for TAs and custodians. So health insurance rates, we assume, are going to increase. We don't have those numbers yet. The state's very late on getting those out to us. And there is a decrease in retirement benefit rates. This is provided by the state. So it just keeps going. Again, we're adding some more staff, and we'll get into those a little bit later. Some textbook adoptions, ESCO payments for the energy savings that were done at the district buildings. All right. So this is where we're at. So the step increase for all eligible employees, 4% salary increase for all staff, 6% additional salary increase for custodians and TAs, and the starting teacher salary to $50,000. The step over to the right, the little honeycomb, just kind of tells you the average step increase that people in the different areas, whether teachers, TAs, support staff, what each of those steps equates to. And again, so the experienced step for eligible staff is an increase of about $606,000. The 4% is an additional $1.3 million. And then the total cost of that is, well, the 4% plus 6% is almost $2 million in additional costs next year for salaries and benefits. We're adding a net 7.5 positions, as well as absorbing the 7 positions that were paid for with expiring grant funds. And we've also put to contract for 2 behavioral specialists next year. That's something that a lot of the principals and teachers had requested, some support in those areas. So those aren't actual positions that will be employees, but they will be contracted at least for the next year. And we're looking to use about $3.8 million of our fund balance in order to balance the budget. And this just kind of gives you a little bit of a history. GFOA recommends that we keep a 10% fund balance. We're budgeting with some of the big projects this year. As I mentioned, the one-time projects to use some of that fund balance. It's going to bring us right on track that we're going to project at the end of next school year we'll be right around that 10% instead of having an excess. And this is a little more on the fund balance necessity. Basically, we have 2 months out of the year we don't get state funding. We have to have cash in order to be able to pay our bills during those months. So that's what we think of fund balance as your savings account. And I'm going to pass it off to Alan, though.
Looking at capital projects and funding, we've address capital projects with a cooperative approach with the city, and so a lot of our projects, including athletic fields, Ben Martin Track, Blankenship Field, Oak Ridge Baseball and Softball Complex. We've also worked with a roofing replacement plan that's been very successful, and we took a little break on that just because of the issues with increased cost of materials and hard to get materials, but we're moving back in that direction. And we continue to utilize our facility study and capacity study to make our decisions on and recommendations for what we're going to spend our capital funding on. Historical investment, you can see the bar chart there. We've maintained a regular investment from the city in capital maintenance of $300,000 for the last 3 years, and we hope that continues as we move forward. Future possibilities of CIP funding, things that we've explored and had discussions with the city about, a new SAB building in the future, a new school or additions to the current buildings to handle our student population growth, renovation and upgrades to athletic venues, and we're looking at some other items here, HVAC equipment that's beyond its useful life, remodeling some old facilities, and improvements for ADA access, parking lots, and driveways. Quick update on the roofing. We've completed several roofs, and we've had discussions and ready to kick back off again this year with some additional roofing. We'll be focusing on Woodland Elementary and additional roof sections of the high school. Those are our top two priorities, and that's something that we're getting in the works at this time. An update on ESG. That's been a very successful program for us. We've done two phases, and we're currently in discussion of a possible phase three, just looking at seeing if that's feasible and what the approach would be. But I think we can all agree that it's been very successful for keeping our costs down while maintaining and upgrading some of the facilities during this difficult financial past few years. A couple of things that we're looking for the next piece, finishing up the final fence and gate installation on the east end of Robertsville. That'll take place in the next 2 months, and we're planning on repaving that cafeteria road at Robertsville. I think that's going to be a boom for just about everybody, including the city and the schools.
So I know that was quick, but as you can see, we've got a series of meetings to get even more in-depth on the budget. We've got line by line and first reading on May 15th and then second reading on May 22nd. But if there's questions tonight, we certainly can take those, but wanted to provide that high-level overview so that we're more prepared next week when we go into our line by line.
Comments or questions from the board? Dr. Hartman.
I just wanted to say, in looking at the salary schedules for all the different positions and levels, the old versus the new, so much better. There was such a flat line, regardless of your credentials, you know, and so the new one makes so much more sense. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for noticing that. Yeah, we did some great work with Lean Frog, a Six Sigma company, to help us do that salary review, and it's paid dividends for us.
You know, there are a lot of positive things within this budget that have been accomplished, and we will continue to work on through the ability to have this budget that we're working on. I think just to mention a couple, it's just a couple, there are many. One is the fact that we're able to continue to fund the positions that we had COVID money for. Based on what those positions have done for us, had we lost them, it would have taken us a step back. So the ability within this budget to be able to do that, I think is very important. The fact that we are several steps ahead of the state and being able to provide a starting salary of $50,000 well in advance when the state will do it, if they do, I think it's a very positive thing. And then our accomplishments, as Alan pointed out, with ESG. I won't ask you to go back, but if you look at the slide on there, what we've been able to accomplish internally with our buildings, providing safer buildings, more economically functioning buildings, and then at the same time, the amount that we're able to pay on recovering the money that we borrowed to do this is unbelievable. So I would be interested, and I know the board will too, looking at what phase three might bring us and what the possibilities are there as well. So those are just a couple of things. There's many more, but, you know, those are a couple that just, I think, jumped right off the board to me. And I agree, Dr. Hartman, with your comment. It's perfect. We found out we were kind of all over the place with our salaries, to say the least, but through what we did with Lean Frog and pulling people and getting them on levels that they should be on, and we continue to work to do that, I think is a very tremendously positive step for what we've been able to accomplish there. So there'll be more when we go over this line by line item next Monday. Any additional comments from anyone? I would like to take the opportunity to thank Vice Mayor Jim Dodson and Councilwoman Ellen Smith and Acting City Manager Drax Scruggs for being here. I look forward to working to completion on this budget. So, hearing no one at this point in time, save all your comments and questions for Monday, I guess. We stand adjourned. Thank you all for being here.